Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I'm your host, Valerie. It's so good to see you on the playground this week, so very close to Christmas. And being with BBS Radio, thank you so much, BBS, for your good work. Happy holidays, BBS. We love you so much. You know, no matter what you believe in, friends, it's always feels good to have an excuse to celebrate, doesn't it? And holidays give us so many lovely ways to be creative and joyful and loving. And for many of us, you know, we cling pretty tightly to traditions and beliefs and beautiful stories of a baby who came to save the world. And there's no denying it is a most beautiful story. And you know, you won't find me poking holes in such beautiful, beautiful stories of fascination and magic and faith. And you know, a man did come to us, friends, a traveler as we are in the human realm, and we were saved. We're saved now. And maybe not the way we think about it, not as the plan was to have unfolded, but there was a mission to send a message through time, through ears that could hear the good news, and with voices who could share the good news and could keep it alive. You know, the good news that we are sovereign beings of a source creator with unbounded energies within us was the most precious message that we have only begun to understand and recounted the right way this time, we hope. You know, unadulterated by religious systems, as it were, the way folks can understand it. By many people equipped to share it, this story of spiritual emancipation in the human realm. It's a simple message, friends, but unfortunately you won't hear it, and you probably won't hear it in a single sermon this season, or choirs won't sing a single song about it, and congregations won't pray a single prayer for it. Ministers probably won't read a sacred scripture about it, and it will still be hidden from you. In all but the most enlightened circles of sacred practice, that is how powerful and scary such a message is still today. And the message is, friends, you are meant to become your own Christ. You are meant to become your own body's Christ, holder of sacred Christos energies that move through you and tethers you to God. You are meant to save yourselves, to redeem yourselves, to forgive yourselves, to love yourselves, to remember who you are, to ascend as you absorb the Christos energies of a rebalancing universe. And for those of us who believe, we might ask, well, how do we do this? And we realize it's a single goal. We serve a single purpose from which all other purposes unfold, friends. We assume a single role, and we become our own Christ. And we push out the middlemen, every single one of them, every one of them who would tell us anything different. And friends, this is the way. This is the teachings of the way. So how do we do it? You know, we realize that everything revealed by Christ was a mandate from the highest of highs of heaven. And it was sent to you, for you, and because of you. Because you, friends, are the light of this world. You are the light of this world. Without you shining brightly, there would be darkness. You are the light. It is what you are and what you are meant for. And, you know, in Native American communities of this country, children are born to their mothers and they are born for their fathers. And parents have different clans, and many birth rituals are meant to join both clans in something of a communal work of rearing the child, and knowing the responsibilities to that child, to bring the child up in the ways it should go. And you were born to humanity, friends. And you were born for the experience of the Father source of all things. We walk a physical path as spiritual beings. We are brought up to this purpose and for our source. We're brought up for the balance of each of these things. It's the key to our joy and our satisfaction and our wholeness. And it brings the parts of us together in a polarity that we experience here in human form. And we hear too often opposing ideas, don't we? And so many of us have no concept of a Christ self. And some of us fear it, and many of us deny it. And that's okay. It's okay, friends. We will grow to know all things. It's okay. And you know, so many of us have heard musings that we're spirits trying to overcome the inconveniences of a physical human experience here. Right? And that if we try hard enough, we can empty ourselves of our humanity somehow, and we can replace it with a spirit more able to ignore the physical nature of who we are, right? That's what some of us try to do. And the truth is, friends, balance is the key to everything here in this realm. As we know, we talk about it all the time. And finding joyful expression, right? And being human is half of a very important balance. Joy is a human expression. It's an emotion body is what we call it. Emotion bodies don't go with us as we move back into spirit form, friends. They do not. They don't need to. They are gifts of this human physicality. And sometimes they are gifts that we truly need to survive here in a very low and slow realm of quantum physics, in a body that needs to hold sacred spirit. And we think that the very best of our emotions are from the ethereal plane, maybe of a higher celestial existence, if you want to think about it that way. But they're not. They are the higher expressions of who we are as humanity. Joy and inspiration and purpose and love. These things are the bounties of a life well lived in the quantum field, friends, of physical reality. You know, in as much as we can dream it. And we hear all the time, and some of us may get frustrated with folks like me who say things like that. And when I say we hear, you know, that love is the emotion of the universe, that what is perfect in the highest realms is radiated by pure love. But it's not, friends. It's not. As we coalesce into what we call higher levels of the energetic realms, we are so unified, right, that expressions of love really have little interpretability there in places where there is total flow of the sacred spirit and souls fully in body that tether to source. And, you know, the gods of man, the creators of humanity, many, many evolutions of creators are guided by what Christs who walk this earth know, what they have learned and how they would guide us. And these spirits return and return because they love. They appreciate love and they feel it deeply for humanity. And in part, it's because it is so rare a celestial commodity, friends, so physically powerful and perfectly transcendent with the spiritual as to be intoxicating. This idea of love and what it can do in a human body and how it connects spirit and light with the cells of who we are in a quantum physics. And would you believe me if I said it was you who taught the gods to love? I mean, it was you who turned around and said, "Look what you've done. And I still love you. And watch me grow in this human form, this indomitable spirit. I will show you what it's like as a physical reality, and you will learn from me." And this is the gift of humanity, friends, the gift of you. You inform the heavens how to commune with spirit in a physical world and how to balance your light and your darkness in one body, and how to create in the physical with a creativity unlike anything else in the universe. When we're not here biding time until we get to leave, friends, many, many of us will be back. We will choose to, time and again, because we know something special about being human. We know what Christ knew and what he knows. We are most powerful as creators, not because we're souls who overcame human weaknesses to return to spirit eventually. No, that's not it. They are hurdles for sure. But we are most powerful as creators because we're souls who have overcome our singular harmonic by joining a chorus of creative expression that causes us never to be the same again. We are a new song, friends, sung in the highest of heavens. And Christ's message was so powerful because he understood the balance of the spiritual human and teaching us how to reclaim our place as fully filled spiritual beings of light. He knew that to be successful, he would have to join us all in a shared unity. He would have to join us here in this physical realm that we may not even remember as souls. And he would have to replicate a loyalty to each other and endear us with a need to become each other's keepers if he was to send a message into the future of man. And he did it through his most beautiful teachings of love. Not because love is thoroughly celestial, friends. Oh, no, no, no. But because love is thoroughly human. Love others as your own soul. Love others for a future generation's sake. Unify together to be lovers and beloved. These are our lessons in love, friends. Christ's teachings. And you are the teachers of a cosmos through these teachings. Do you understand? Is it hard to understand such a beautiful thing? That you are the giver and not just the receiver of beautiful things of Christ's teachings? And you know, Christ came here to find teachers and train teachers and create messengers because you have something magnificent to teach, friends. You teach love. You teach love, the currency of humanity into the sacred. The true currency of our realm, the true currency that can't be manipulated in its purest form. Now, okay, I have a bias that I cannot help myself with. Okay, I cannot help myself with it. There was, in the eternal now of the beginning of all things that began from source energies, a great, great struggle to subdue human creation. And in that struggle, a celestial mother cried and realized she held the key to infusing the human heart with its sovereign celestial powers. And she gave her sacred hearts her love as a spark of creation. And it was a conspiracy of sorts, this mythological tale, which does sound unbelievable, maybe, maybe. But here we are with magical hearts that do something unique, sparked into a body from a sacred celestial realm, and it grew into a most powerful thing that we call love. And every time you offer your service, you teach love. It flows through you. It's what love does. It connects every cell of your body to the sacred spiritual feeling of energies that come through you from source. Every time you smile at a stranger, you teach love. Every time you choose to care, you teach love. It flows through you. It can't help itself. It is the nature of the flow of love through bodies. And that teaching does something miraculous that you may not even realize. It opens you as a flow for the energy of God to come in and fill you and fill others. So love is the how, friends, of our salvation, as it were, to coin a phrase. Love is the how. Some are going to say that peace energy, okay, the ability to get still and quiet, right, is the true path to ascension, and they're right. But we're opening the cells of our bodies to a powerful energy we've been empty of for so, so long. And we need a really powerful tool to do that. And that tool is love, friends. That tool is love. And it takes us to the right kind of service to others. It is the thing of miracles. Love is the thing of miracles. It is the giving of trust and the trusting in receiving. It is the giving and receiving of the miracles of sacred spirit. It is what Christ taught us to do and to be, to give miracles and to do miracles and to receive miracles. And in this season of miracles, I hope we don't forget that. It's the how of how do we find our inner Christ? How do we infuse ourselves in Christos energies coming right at us, from all sides, wanting to be pulled in? It's the how, love. And so, what's the why, friends? Why a Christ? Why here? Why for humanity? What's the why to this holiday message, right? Among so many other things. Our greatest capacity of love had been turned against us in humanity, friends. Love, this human energy body that infuses us with life force so powerfully, had been turned against us. And we very quickly began deceiving ourselves with what we thought was love through an ego mind at work, isolating us from our hearts. And the darkness had to capture our capacity for love if it had any chance of controlling us. And so that's what it did. And we helped a lot, there's no doubt about it. We began to believe that love meant ownership and control and limitations and physical exploitation and manipulation and selfishness and callousness. I could go on and on and on. Abandonment, abuse, deception, depravity of all kinds, greed and enslavement. Right? And with every undermining of our capacity for true love, we lost ourselves and the energy flow in our bodies. We lost our light in that undermining of love. We were candles barely flickering, and many of us still are. And our bodies have been all but emptied of the energy of God by wayward emotions and by an ego mind and by physical depravity and spiritual hijacking of our hearts through suffering and pain and our captors. You can call them gods or call them demons or call them aliens or call them the negative half of our egos. Call them something that occurs in the mind's eye or just call them the unconscious self. Whatever you call what captures our capacity to love our neighbor as ourselves, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it has captured our energy flow. And has captured our ability to fill the enlightened part of us with God's light. And in that capture, we have been emptied, friends, of the vital source energy we need so very much. And those who would control the human species have tried everything to undermine our soul connections. And they have, in large part, succeeded through the hardening of our hearts. And I want to share something with you that is very scientific and provable and something we can know as true in the realm of science. When our physical cells in our bodies experience what we call stressors in the body and begin to degenerate because of the stress, they harden our cells. Our energetic cells degenerate and they harden, so to speak. But this is literal, right? This is the literal devolution of energy in our cell bodies. Our bodies have been emptied of the energy of God, essentially, by wayward emotion bodies, or ego mind, or physical depravity, or spiritual hijacking, like we talked about, right? And when cells experience stressors in these ways in the body, and begin to degenerate, we feel disease, and we know that something is not right and we can't feel a flow in our daily lives. And fun fact, our body cells produce biophotons, okay? Look it up. It's science. Look it up. Biophotons, it's light particles, right? Ask the science. These biophotons help cells communicate to one another, right? And link physical processes with broader energetic fields coming into the body, right? Okay, pure science, pure science. Here's the thing. When cells become damaged or distressed, they stop communicating effectively. And like I said, we feel tired and stressed and diseased. And after a period of time of feeling this way, cells harden, they degenerate to a point that they harden. And then here comes something of an analogy, right? Do you feel the analogy coming on? For many of us, the spiritual cells of our being have hardened. And in their degeneration, they have lost what makes them flourish and heal our bodies. They have lost the way to communicate together, friends. No biophotons emitting light throughout the body, communicating one cell to another. Can we see that? Physically, these cells have essentially lost the flow of source energy as a real thing, right? Not metaphorical. Our cells are losing communication. They are losing their light. That's the why, friends. That's the answer to the why question. Why love? Why love? Love is to regenerate within ourselves the vital source energies needed to feed a physical body. Our instrument for receiving the flow of source energy, one body to another, the flow of service of source that moves ourselves into their awakening. And communicating to each other with this light that comes in and moves us. So, as our instrument, our bodies need a way to pull energy through it. And I hope you can understand, friends. And so we might say, okay, so what's love got to do with it, right? To coin a phrase, right? Well, love creates, right? And I'm quoting, coherent heart rhythms that influence brain waves, EEGs, and affect immune and endocrine systems. Okay? Love like this is interpreted by the body as a spiritual state in the body that impacts physical function. So, what kind of love are we talking about? Right? Love we feel through the heart space because we know that our heart's energetic field syncs up the rest of the body, right? Up and down the spine, including and especially the brain, right? So we are sinking into health and repair and balance through the physical effect of love on the body that pulls light in. And moves it into the cells, communicating with each other what this beautiful thing is going on in the body. It's why when you love somebody and it feels like your whole body is lit up, you're lit up in the most beautiful way a human can be. And some of us call what happens the entering of the Holy Spirit. And it's not because we created it, but because it found a way in to us through alignment, friends. Through alignment. And the body can do its good work of pulling light in, and the cells can regenerate in this good work. And it is the lifeline that we need in a very dense world, right? And it all works through our alignment. So pull God in, friends. Pull the Holy Spirit of Source into your bodies. Put it to work, communicating with every cell in your body. We are telling you how in every age, right? To become the sacred self, to become the Christ that you are. So let's learn and share in this age so that, you know, this age inherits new gifts we can be ready for and worthy of as guardians of a new earth or a heaven on earth, as it were. And it will require us to step into ourselves a little differently. And to step out a little differently and accept our assignment, right? As one who carries Christos energies of the Holy Spirit infused within us, who can love others in service, because that service gives what we have. It gives the energies away that we have. It carries the sacred waters, the energies, the sacred waters within ourselves to others and gives it away. That is the gift of service, friends. That is the gift of service. We who are filled with Source Light, with Holy Spirit, with Christos energies, we give it away in service. And it flows out from us and from others and from others and from others. And this is what we go forth teaching. Service and love. Teach what you know fearlessly. And then we'll arrive at our heaven, friends. And when the fear is gone and we accept our genuine natures, our true natures, you know, who cannot live any other way anymore but to live by Christos energies. That decision changes everything. We choose differently then. We decide differently. We live connected and we live in communion. And we live in gratitude. We live out of time and we lose what doesn't serve. We lose what deceives. We lose what hurts. And we remember who we are. We remember what forever feels like, and we remember why we came here and keep coming back. All by being filled with Christ energies. And if you've never believed in alchemy before, or magic, or an energetic universe, you will. You will. And there are lots of real-life examples we can find right now that illustrates what I'm talking about, okay? I can point to them right now. If you are on YouTube, right, make your way over to Campfire Stories. Campfire Stories, Matthias Olson. He interviews extraordinary people doing radically new earth things, or sovereign spirit things, I guess you would say, depending on how you look at it. It's an inspiring list of interviews, beautifully done on YouTube, and it's called Campfire Stories, okay? He just did one on building a gift economy, okay? Building a gift economy. And there's an analogy being used in the interview of a bank and a library. And it was a very creative conversation on how to share a world that is co-created and co-owned by communities themselves and neighbors and humanity. And Matthias Olson, Campfire Stories on YouTube, right? Check it out. And you will find so many beautiful stories of exactly what I'm talking about. And it will be delightful. So I highly recommend it. Speaking of creative conversations, we like to play a little together, right? On Sundays and enjoy a little expressive self-reflection on Sunday afternoons. And so maybe let's play a little. You want to? Let's do something fun just for the holidays. We're going to make a feelings snowman. Okay, a feelings snowman. You want to? Step outside your adult self. I dare you. I double dare you. And let's play a little bit. Let's make a feeling snowman. Have you ever made one? Right? Are you a little curious? Right? Maybe curious enough to give it a try? I hope so. What we're going to do is we're going to express our holiday feelings, right, in our drawing of a feelings snowman, right? We're going to express our holiday through emotion, and we're going to see what we come up with. All we need is something to write with and something to write on. And some of us like to get our notepads out, and that's certainly a fun thing to do. What we'll do is we'll describe our holiday emotions. Right? What are we feeling this holiday? And then we'll reflect on them a little bit. So, anything to write with, anything to write on, grab your notepads. Let's do a little holiday fun, right? And draw our feelings snowman, right? So, we'll have specific instructions on what to focus on. Right? And it'll be really interesting to see what we come up with. All right, here we go. We are drawing a snowman, one body part at a time. And we're going to use our traditional snowman that we roll up in the snow, right? During Christmas and during times when it snows and lots of snow on the ground, we roll up our snowmen and we decorate our snowmen and bring our snowman to life. So let's start out by giving our snowman a lower body. Okay, let's draw the bottom circle of our snowman. Right? We're thinking about running around our holiday season, right? Trying to get things done, trying to get ready to celebrate, right? Let's draw the bottom circle of our snowman, and then we're going to write something in there. Okay, let's write a phrase or some words in our lower body of our snowman. To describe just how hectic our holiday has been this year. Describe how hectic our holiday has been. And maybe for some of us, or many of us, it hasn't been all that hectic. Describe what your holiday has been like so far this year. And we'll reflect on that. Got it? Describe in a few words or a good phrase how hectic our holiday has been so far. Got it? Now, let's draw a middle circle on our snowman. A middle circle on our snowman. And let's think about how stressful our holidays have been. Or for some of us, how calm and balanced our holidays have been, right? Whatever the case may be for you, let's pretend our snowman's stomach is there inside the middle circle. Okay? And let's think about this. How has our digestion been this holiday season, friends? Right? Add a few words to describe our holidays' physical feeling. How's our digestion been? How stressful has it been for us? Add a few words to describe what our body's been going through this holiday season. Let's think about this for a second, right? Add a few words in there to describe how we're feeling in our bodies.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on pbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.